Hello, I'm Johnny Cash.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around a bend, and I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, and time keeps dragging on.
All right, here we go. Primetime Titans. I got JG and...
And this is MB.
We got JG and MB, baby. JG and Michael, we are here to talk Titans. The draft is coming up. We also need to talk a little bit about things that have happened since the last time we recorded. I think the last time we recorded was the Thursday night of the first week of free agency. So definitely some things that have happened from there. I will say a lot of what we did was in that, you know, those first few days, obviously the Calvin Ridley signing, Tony Pollard, Lloyd Cushenberry, some of those. I think the biggest thing that has happened, obviously, since we last met was we got our guy in L'Jarius Sneed. Before that, though, actually, you know what? I'm getting ahead of myself. Michael, how are we doing? Are you doing okay? We're feeling good? Draft in a week?
L'Jarius Sneed was my number one top of the offseason list. So even though we really, you know, it's a large amount of time has passed, but not a lot of things have happened in Titans land. We got a lot of smoke screens as we're going up to the draft now. But yeah, the main thing that happened is this L'Jarius Sneed trade. And I got to say, I'm feeling great about it. Feeling like that turned our offseason into a massive A.
Yeah. I can't deny, I was talking to some friends actually like going into the night that it happened, and I was a little, it got to a point where I thought we were basically desperate and we had to make it happen in order to have a good free agency because of the decisions we made at the start. I felt like we were kind of putting everything into the Sneed basket. And then we maybe thought we missed out on him. We kind of pivoted a little bit. We missed out on some other free agents, maybe like re-signing Aziz and Danico Autry potentially. There was a part of me at the start that I didn't love going the direction of Sneed because I thought we were going to have to give up a lot for him. But after the things that we did do that first week and then the trade happened, it really was not terrible for what we gave up for him. And I don't think we're paying him too much money. I think we traded a 2025 third for him. And also we did a pick swap in the seventh round for this year. So, I mean, I don't know about you, Michael, but I thought it was going to end up taking a second or like a four. There were some rumors that 2025 third was going to be okay for him, but it was one of those where I'll believe it when I see it. And then it happened and I was like, wait, we honestly didn't trade that much for him. And I mean, this guy can be a true lockdown corner. He was one of the best corners in the league last year. I remember, specifically from the point of having fantasy receivers when they would play the Chiefs, I remember everyone be like, oh, I don't know about starting your stud because L'Jarius Sneed and the Chiefs. And they'd be like, no, I'm going to start that stud. But then L'Jarius Sneed would legitimately lock them down. I mean, you look at some of the best receivers in the league, L'Jarius Sneed going up against them last year. I mean, some of their worst games of the year for the receivers. So I think it was massive to end up getting it happen, getting the trade actually happen. And I don't know. I think it's one of those where like you're skeptical going into it. And then when it happens, you're like, all right, why was I skeptical in the first place? This is awesome. We've got L'Jarius Sneed. So we'll see how it works out. But I mean, I'm pumped about it. And I think, I don't know, Michael, I think it's like you said, it kind of elevated our free agency signings and class and everything we've done this offseason so far really elevated it to that next grade. I don't know. I thought it was great.
Yeah, I think even the price tag of the third round pick, which is usually, you know, you hope a third rounder is going to develop into a starter. At this point, we need top talent and pieces on this team. So a third round pick in a future draft is easy compensation, cheap in my mind. And we have the cap structure right now to take advantage of it. The price isn't too high for us. And how rare is it? You know, we saw it in this free agency period where there's just not a lot of top guys going to free agency. So, you know, if you have to trade to get it, to secure top talent that are, it's not too old, I sign me up. I'm on board. You know, the sheer notion that we have a absolute just pencil them in cornerback one is huge for me, and huge for also just him matching the style of play that clearly that Wilson wants to run with this defense. So got to say, you know, with the other acquisitions, and we didn't make a lot of acquisitions, we really swapped pieces elsewhere on the team, but it is shaping up where it's clear they really want to be an attacking D. And now the free agency, we've basically made all of our moves. So now we have the draft going forward, but it is an interesting chess match with, you know, you mentioned Legarius Sneed specifically shutting down opposing receivers. A newly acquired divisional opponent in Stephon Diggs, he absolutely massacred the man, just shut him down over, I can't remember how many games it is, but I want to say it's like over several seasons, Legarius Sneed has completely made Stephon Diggs just irrelevant. And
yeah,
it bodes well for us in terms of how we are going to transition into the next phase, which is now going from hoping to compete for a wild card to hoping to compete for the division.
Yeah. And yeah, you mentioned Stephon Diggs. I mean, when that trade happened, the Texans traded for Stephon Diggs, that's definitely something big that has happened since the last time we recorded. I think it's one of those things where the Bills and Diggs might have been unhappy for a while. Things are reported that that's the case. You never really know. Josh Allen always said, I loved the guy, that's my guy. And then it happens, and then we're sitting there like, I mean, we already mentioned the Texans having a really good offseason the last time we met, and then they do this. And it kind of just, to me, it was like, okay, well, they were already really good. I don't know how much Diggs is going to make them that much better, because they're already doing great moves in the offseason. So, I mean, you look at that trade, and really things that were happening. I mean, the AFC South is such it's a weird division now, because it's an up and coming division that a few years ago we were like the worst division in the NFL probably. And you look at the Jaguars, they've maybe had some questionable moves this offseason. Colts as well, they're kind of just sitting there and signing a lot of their guys. But you have Anthony Richardson, Trevor Lawrence, CJ Stroud, and Will Levis, who are all younger quarterbacks in the AFC South. When you are looking at the offenses that are in the AFC South, that makes the trade for Sneed even, you know, even more important. The signing of Chidobe, I'm just going to say, I think that's what we were supposed to say. Cheeto, Roger McCreary and his T-Rex arms, hopefully he can move into the slot and be fine there. I think, you know, I don't know. Defense is very important, and Legarius Sneed is a great start to that. And the Stephon Diggs situation, that trade, it definitely scared me. But like I said, the Texans already had a great offseason to where it was just like a cherry on top for me. It was just like, okay, great. They've kind of been crushing it anyways, but I don't know. It's a lot of stuff's going on, especially with the Texans. They're trying to equip, and we've got to catch up.
Yeah, I think I dug in a little bit actually this week on the Texans cap situation, because really for the Titans, for me, it still isn't about 2024. It's about 2025 and 2026. And if you put the trade of Legarius Sneed up against the trade for Stephon Diggs, we gave up a third round draft capital to have a long-term solution in Legarius Sneed. The Texans gave up a second round 2025 draft capital to get a one-year rental on Stephon Diggs. Sneed has shut down Diggs. So in a lot of ways, I'm like, you know what? We absolutely came out the winners if you were to compare those trades, right? Mm-hmm. But the Texans have an interesting issue that's coming up in 2025, and the pinch starts to happen where Nico Collins is suddenly a free agent. Jimmy Ward comes up. There's a lot of pieces. Okuda at cornerback.
Corner.
I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. There's a lot of pieces that are coming up for the Texans in 2025, and they're spending so much money on their offensive line that I think the 2025, they have 33 players on the cap. That is ultimately $4 million less than 71 players are in 2024. So they have a little bit of, they need their rookies to really hit. So for us, and the reason I'm looking into it is because for the Titans, this year is all about setting up for 2025, 2026, because we knew we were in a unique position to, our window has started to open, but our window is going to open, and that's all dependent on Will Levis, right? So yep. That segues us into the moves that we've made from this free agency into the moves we can make in the draft to really push that. And I will say the Texans, and the only reason we're talking and fixating on the Texans is it's clear they are the class of our division right now, and we have to figure out a way to match that. But specifically, I think we are in a good position as long as Will Levis actually becomes that guy to basically be right there in the conversation, and really, maybe if not this season, then next season, really, really be pushing it while the other teams are having, you know, cap decline.
Yeah. I think that's really important. I mean, I definitely agree with you that if we make the playoffs this year, cool, but I think the biggest thing about this next year is Will Levis the guy? Because, I mean, if you look at, obviously, what C.J. Stroud did last year was amazing. So already the Texans are the talk of the town because of what C.J. Stroud did. If Will Levis can prove that he can, I'm not trying to say he's going to be as good as C.J. Stroud. I just think if he can prove that he can be that dude on the rookie deal and be a good quarterback option, then you could argue we're right there with the Texans potentially to compete. And so that makes the Will Levis situation huge, but also makes potentially protecting Will Levis really important, or potentially adding another weapon for Will Levis pretty huge, or randomly potentially adding an edge rusher. I'm trying to transition into the draft here, and I was getting a little ahead of myself. How funny would it be if the Titans select Dallas Turner with number 7? Would not be funny at all. I'm completely joking. And I just want to talk about the draft now, because Michael, I think you obviously have looked a lot into the draft. I, for the most part, haven't looked into it as much as I did in previous years, where I would try and study every single prospect, not even really study, but just get to know the names. And this year I'm focusing on, you know, those first two picks and what I think we're going to do. And for me, I'm interested in hearing what you're going to say and what you think where we should go. But it's kind of an exciting time going into the draft, because we've got a chance to get a real stud, and there are multiple options to get that real stud. And I'm not sure where we're going to go. And a lot of it is going to just depend on how it plays out. But I just want to hear from you, I guess. I don't know if I want to, we'll make a prediction at the end for where we're going to go. But when you think of the draft and you think of our first two picks, what direction do you feel like we've got to go when you think of that?
The argument for left tackle, A, is that we have seen what happens when you have poor left tackle play over several seasons and it gets your quarterback hurt. Not only is sacks there, but injuries are there, and that is a long-term issue for both Ryan Tannehill into whatever the crazy segue of backup into Will Levis situation at our quarterback position has been. So the argument for Joe Alt is that if you take Joe Alt, who seems like he is the athletic, high ceiling, high floor guy, you know he's going to be expensive eventually, but you just pencil him in on the team and you don't worry about it anymore. Left tackle is supposed to be expensive on your team. It is supposed to take up money. And the fact that you get to turn your brain off for, you know, however many years. I'm trying to think how many years. Luan was basically a 10-year guy, right? Mm-hmm. Basically 10 years. Same thing. Like, we were spoiled at the left tackle position for so many years. So it would be so nice to get back to that. If you were the last, I think the last time we talked, I was like, oh, Joe Alt, only Joe Alt. That's it. I'm becoming a little bit soft on that because I do have this interesting faith in our new offensive line coach and Callahan Senior that maybe Joe Alt doesn't have exactly all of the things that Bill Callahan looks at. Bill Callahan has a strong history of looking at the way that offensive lines use their hands and violent hands and a jab to really to stop edge rushers and, you know, pass rushers to kind of use that in their arsenal. And Joe Alt really doesn't have that in his bag, or at least he didn't deploy it at Notre Dame. He had this kind of really passive soft hand usage. So a lot of me wants to look at some of these like holes and kind of create this narrative in my mind where we do look at a playmaker and then go to round two to look at the tackle that we can build up.
Yeah. So you're kind of doing that in your mind. Are you seeing things that you feel like, I mean, a lot of the story of the draft or leading up to the draft, a lot of times you got a ton of smoke screens. Do you feel like it's stuff that you're seeing things from the team or from the media or something that's like Joe Alt maybe isn't even going to be there. And so the team is talking about, you know, I mean, we traded for a random tackle from the Browns. Like he's obviously not going to be our starter. Cause it was, we traded a 7th round pick for him. So is it that you're just seeing things like from the team or is it something that you're kind of in your head starting to like, maybe you're listening to Robert a little bit. Maybe you're liking the idea of Brock Bowers. You're starting to convince yourself that you want a weapon instead. Like what's necessarily making you kind of start to think that?
Yeah, we're going to give a little shout out to my cousin Robert Brown right now because he's spending time with his wife and his child. So I'm going to do the spiel and say it's Bowers or bust for Robert right now in honor of him. Which
it's
Robert
the draft day movie, Brock Bowers no matter what on the sticky note. Is that Robert, that's what Robert's saying?
Robert has been pounding the table for Brock Bowers since the draft conversation has come up. And I got to say, mainly because I feel like I'm one of the few people that is not high on Malik Nabers as a, yes, he's a playmaker. Yes, he's electric with the ball in his hand. I don't think he's the wide receiver that this team needs though.
And I would say you are few for sure. a lot of people love Malik Nabers.
What the reason I like Brock Bowers is Brock Bowers, not only is he a playmaker that is versatile and can move around, but Brock Bowers, if you are going to go playmaker, he's the only playmaker that can actually give us a little bit of a plus in pass protection in the way that he's used in the line. So that's the one thing I would say. If you're going to go playmaker in round one and then tackle in round two, that's the plus, right? Is, and worst comes to worse, all you need to do is fix one tackle position. You can scheme and you can give help for one tackle that is not great, a mediocre to lower grade tackle. You can constantly give help in that. You can't cover up for two tackles. And that's what we've kind of been seeing over this past 2 years, is that when you have multiple spots in the offensive line that are super weak, you know, you only have so much flexibility to fix that. When you have one spot that is weak, you can absolutely scheme and figure out a way to do that. And our offensive scheme over the last 2 years kind of hung our tackles out to dry, which is funny because they were also our weakest positions on the line. But when you add in what, you know, a playmaker could, you know, can do in terms of the versatility. And also the question would be, even if we draft a wide receiver, Rome Odunze, Malik Nabers, there's no guarantee they're really going to see the field because we have D-Hop and we have Calvin Ridley, right? Of course they're going to see
the field. And we have Traylon Burks.
Traylon Burks, man. He's going to get everybody on the bench. But no, I'm really, like, I'm looking at I'm really looking at the Lions and I'm looking like a Jameson Williams in that situation. Or like, he really didn't see the field a lot for the Lions for being a game breaker. And then he got injured, right? But
yeah, yeah.
Tight end, I'm looking at Sam Laporta.
That's true. That's a good point.
I'm looking at rookies that translate over. And when you're just a guy that can move around, I'm like, oh, if you are going to get a playmaker, that's maybe the playmaker that you kind of need.
You know what's insane? You know how sometimes, I don't know, sometimes people like, I'm not even going to explain it, what I'm trying to say. That one point just now that you just made makes me want Brock Bowers an insanely amount more. That's an incredible point, because having a, you know, if we hit on like a Sam Laporta type, it's not like Chig is preventing him from being on the field. You know, like, it's not like Chig is preventing Brock Bowers from being the guy that we can put in the field and put wherever. I mean, that's a really good point. That's, Robert would be very proud of you for making that point. He for sure would. I love Brock Bowers. I a few years ago, I remember when he was a freshman and when he was a sophomore. Obviously last year he had the ankle injury, tight rib surgery. He still had amazing plays, amazing games. But like his freshman and sophomore year, I remember thinking to myself that I wanted the Titans to tank to get like a top five pick and end up taking him. He is so good. And I think it's not as much of like Brock Bowers' fault that I don't necessarily pound the table as much anymore for him. I think it's more the fact that I feel like taking a Joe Alt is such a no-brainer, or the excitement of having a Malik Nabers, a Rome Odunze. And also, just to say, we're not even mentioning Marvin Harrison Jr. He's the other receiver that would be in that mix, but not really even in that mix, because I feel like he's going to be gone top five anyways. Probably not even top five, maybe top four. So that's why we're not mentioning Marvin Harrison Jr. Just wanted to say that. I don't know. I like Rome Odunze, people were comparing to Davante Adams. Malik Nabers, I don't even know what people are comparing him to, that he's just a huge, big-time playmaker. I have seen someone comparing him to Kevin White. I think you maybe mentioned that Kevin White was a huge bust at receiver for the Bears, and everyone thought he was a smash home run hit receiver draft pick. He was terrible. So I don't know. The Malik Nabers, the way you talk about him scares me a little bit, but then I hear everyone else talk about him, and he's phenomenal. So I don't know. Like I said, it's not Brock Bowers' fault that I don't necessarily want him as much anymore. It's the fact that we've got a chance. I just keep thinking to myself, it's Joe Alt. You know, it's that left tackle. It's that franchise left tackle and Joe Alt. I feel like that's where we got to go.
Yeah, the wild card is, you know, these guys could be looking at it and they're like, yeah, Joe Alt's graded above some of these other first round tackles, but you know, I can take, and now I'm speaking as if I'm Callahan Senior, I can take this guy that we're going to draft at 38, or even if we trade up a little bit, let's say we trade up to the top of round two to pick 33 or something like that. It's like, I can take that guy, like a Jordan Morgan from Arizona or a Guyton from Oklahoma. I can take that guy and I can turn him into a starter in this league. And maybe, you know, they scratch a Pro Bowl every now and then.
Yeah.
And you're constructing a team like that. I can see the argument. If you have this coach and a scheme that is built around maximizing that, there's, you know, it's like a cheat code in a certain way to get your franchise. And I can't say in that situation it would necessarily be a franchise left tackle, but your starter at left tackle and a person that's not going to derail your pass game.
Yeah.
And so that's where I kind of look at it, and you're like, you know, we do have, we have one of the best coaches. We have the thing that's also, you know, what that should be said across the board is there are no guarantees in the draft. Athletically, when you look at Joe Alt, and a comparison that is up there in terms of the athletic gifts of Joe Alt, Andre Dillard is also up there when you look at like relative athletic scores and other stuff. So
why'd you say that? Gross.
You bring up our history of wide receivers and the fact that we've only successfully hit on four wide receivers out of the last 30 years. And you're like, yeah, the draft is not a guarantee. There is nothing guaranteed. Yeah. Last wide receiver we drafted high was Corey Davis at 5. Do you think Corey Davis was worth a number 5 overall?
No, heck no.
So yeah, there's no guarantee. What scares me to death about Malik Nabers is when I watch Malik Nabers and I see highlights of him, it's so manufactured from the slot. And when I look at the highlights, I end up watching Brian Thomas more than Malik Nabers. And I'm like, that guy's a better wide receiver.
Yeah.
And for some reason, we're watching the guy doing fancy things with the ball in his hand. But the better wide receiver is the one that's drawing the attention across from him.
Well, so you mentioned that Malik Nabers, a lot of his highlights are in the slot. I'm pretty sure Brian Callahan actually mentioned in a press conference in the last couple of weeks that we're looking for that player in the slot. And I don't even think he mentioned Treylon Burks at all.
No, but you know, who had all his college highlights from the slot was Treylon Burks.
That's fair. That's true too.
The guy that like, ripped it up at Arkansas in the slot was Treylon Burks. So, you know, in certain ways, yes, it's not apples to apples, but I look at it and I'm, you know, there's a part of me, it's like, I don't know football well enough to basically be able to tell, but I do know when you get onto the NFL level, being an ex receiver and having to deal with press coverage and dealing with jams is a whole lot different than being this manufactured on the move motion where, you know, you're just faster than the other guy and you're instantly catching the ball.
I would say about that though, I for sure get that point, but Malik Nabers just looks the part more than Treylon Burks did. And I guess it's easier for me to say that now after seeing Treylon Burks in the NFL for a couple of years. But like Treylon Burks was a really big physical receiver, which looked awesome in college. But you look at Malik Nabers, he is putting the burners on and he is exploding. Like the explosiveness is there. I don't know. I think, honestly, the way you've talked about Malik Nabers has made me a little scared about it, to where I don't know how I feel, but I also feel like he will be taken before us. I want to talk about, obviously, we've mentioned Joe Alt. There are a few other tackle names. You mentioned a few that we would maybe get in the 30s in the second round. I know Patrick Paul is another name from Houston. He's a potential in the second round. But guys that people mention that wouldn't necessarily be at 7, but a little later, would be like J.C. Latham, Talise Fuanga, Olu Fashanu, Faiutanu, I think, from Washington, I think is his name. Anyways, they mentioned some of those names because sometimes in mock drafts, conversations, stuff like that, there's a little bit of discussion of maybe a trade back. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think we could get that many more picks in the draft to where that would be desirable? Do you think we end up staying at 7 and taking whoever's there? Do you think it depends on who is taken in the first 6 that would maybe lead us to trading back? I want to see what your thoughts are on the whole trade back situation.
I actually don't think we're going to trade back because I think, and a little bit of this is recency bias with what Carthon did last year.
Yep.
But I think we would stay put, take a playmaker, and then trade up from 38 to then go get a higher grade tackle, as opposed to trading back to get a slightly higher grade tackle in that scenario, if that makes sense.
What would that take again, though? Because last year, like when we traded up with Will Levis, that's why we don't have, or for Will Levis, that's why we don't have a third round pick this year, because we traded that to the Cardinals. You know, are we in that business to where we're going to keep trading mid round picks from the next year and we end up in this situation again where it's like, oh, the Titans are a team to trade back because they don't have as many mid round picks? You know, do you feel like it's something that wouldn't be as high of a price this year?
No, I think it would be the same thing. It's, we would either trade away, like if we were to go from 38 to go up to, you know, 33 or something like that, I don't think the price is nearly as high as it was as previous years.
Okay.
So you may be able to, even if it's a fourth round pick at this point, you know, the difference of having an impact player, the guy that you want, that you know is going to be the skill set that you're looking for. I don't think you necessarily worry about stacking picks. You're looking at stacking players. So if you're Rand Carthon, who's whose history with the 49ers was really doing the later rounds and the undrafted free agents in that point, and really what you're looking at is you're looking at players and not draft capital. And draft capital is how you get access to players, and that's important, and you don't want to keep perpetuating trading away, but we are still at a deficit for players. So that's why I look at it in the situation where they could still trade away future draft capital next year, a fourth, for example, or a fourth this year, even though it hurts to get potentially two starters.
Yeah. There's a hypothetical question, so I don't want to get too into the weeds of a hypothetical. Let's say we're at seven and Joe Alt is there and Roma Dunze is there, and we trade back to like 11 or maybe even maybe like 14 with the Saints. I think the Saints are 14. Let's say we trade back and we miss out on Alt or Odunze, tackle and receiver. And let's say at 11, we take Brock Bowers. Are you happy with that?
I mean, I'm ecstatic if they trade back and get Bowers at 11. The real question is, what do you think about left tackle 2, left tackle 3, left tackle 4?
That was my next question. Like, Fuanga, I know the Olu, Fashanu, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, and usually I do. He's the one with tiny sized hands. So there could be concerns there.
Especially with Bill Callahan, who puts a focus on violent hands in that jab move. I think that just takes him off our draft board, honestly.
Maybe. Yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, we have met with him. It's not like there, you know, there's been no contact. But the only meeting that we've had with him was at the combine. We haven't done anything since. Whereas some of these other guys, JC Latham, we've had a top 30 visit, Tyler Guyton, top 30 visit. We've had Jordan Morgan as a top 30 visit. We did a private meeting with Joe Alt. So it's telling you something about Fashanu that tiny hands over there is not getting the love. We, at least with Patrick Paul, we did meet with him both. We had time with him at the Senior Bowl. And the important thing about Patrick Paul is the first day of the Senior Bowl, he was atrocious. He got worked, but then he got so much better over the week. But we also met with him at the combine. I'm just looking at the tea leaves. And I'm like, you know what? If we were going to trade back in that scenario, I don't think we're interested in left tackle 2, left tackle 3. I do think we're interested in like left tackle 5, which could be JC Latham or some of these other guys, because it is a deep class. And that's why I look at, I don't think they're going to pass on a playmaker at 7. I think the move is going to be trading other draft capital to get two studs that they think, so that you move up from 38. I think that's personally, that's what I think they would do in that scenario.
So you would you more say that if we lost out on that, like a playmaker like Alt or Odunze at 7, you wouldn't prefer that because you feel like, or even Brock Bowers at 7, like we would miss out potentially on him. Are you saying like you wouldn't prefer that because you feel like we would be missing out and not replacing as good of a stud in the teens?
Well, I just think no matter what, we are going to get a stud at 7, whether it's all. I don't love Neighbors. I like Odunze over Neighbors personally, or Bowers, but I think
I like Odunze too.
So basically if Brock Bowers were to go at 6, or 5, let's say, like shocks the world, that means one of the wide receivers falls to us. So no matter what, there's a playmaker that's available at 7 always. And if not one of the playmakers, then Joe Alt's available at 7. So I just don't see a scenario where we're trading back from 7, because I think the value is, and even if we got Joe Alt at 7 and it worked out that way, I think there's enough wide receivers that a wide receiver that we value is going to be there at 38. Like, I don't think we have to do the moving around thing. I think the dream most people have is moving down to 11 or moving down to 14 to get Brock Bowers. And it seems like the Jets at 10, no matter what, is going to take him. So it's either the Titans take him at 7 or Brock Bowers probably goes at number 10 to the Jets, in my opinion.
I think for some reason I keep seeing a lot of mock drafts not even necessarily mock drafts, but just discussion of the Titans being a team that's a trade back team to get more draft capital, that I almost feel like we're just stuck doing that. And in my head, I keep thinking like, I don't want to do that. I want to stay at 7, like you're saying, and stick to taking that playmaker. So I don't know. It would have to be like a really good situation for me that I would still be excited that we trade back and take a player, because I don't know. I think like you said, there's a chance. I mean, there's a good chance that 4 quarterbacks are taken in the top 6 picks. If that happens, then let's say 4 quarterbacks are taken, Marvin Harrison Jr. and Joe Alt are taken. Malik Nabers, Roma Dunze, Brock Bowers pick one of the 3. Then let's say 4 quarterbacks are taken and Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers are taken. So then, boom, we've got Joe Alt. Or, we got to sell for Roma Dunze or settle for Brock Bowers. Boom. Like, I would settle for them. You know, so it does get a little hairy, obviously, if there are just 3 quarterbacks taken. But that still leaves a chance to getting, like you said, a Roma Dunze, a Malik Nabers, a Brock Bowers potentially, because they're not taken with the 3 picks that aren't quarterbacks before us. So I don't know. I feel like we're in a good spot at 7, and I am on the side of just sticking with it and staying there. So I'm with you on that. And I wouldn't mind trading up as well. I feel like I don't want to trade that many picks away though, because I feel like we keep being in the, like I said, the situation where we're missing out on some mid round picks because we're just moving up 6 to 7 spots. But I mean, the move up for Will Levis could end up working out, even though at the time I hated it. So who's to say that, you know, we move up because A.D. Mitchell falls to the early 2nd round. I don't know if that's possible, but something like that could potentially happen. I don't know. So I'm kind of following you there, but the old trade situation, I don't know where I fully am on that in terms of trading up. I don't love the idea of trading back. So
I feel like the national pundits that are like focused on us trading back haven't really contemplated the fact that we really could take Brock Bowers. I feel like they're focusing on the offensive tackle wide receiver portion of it. And that's to me where the whole thing changes when you add in Brock Bowers. And yeah, I mean, there are so many teams when you look at the construction of like really good offensive production. And the same thing, I think last year, if you were to tell me before the draft in last year that Quentin Johnson was going to be one of the most disappointing rookie wide receivers, I would have called you crazy.
That's a fair point.
You know, look at what he did with the Chargers and the fact that, you know, he really couldn't see the field too often because there was Keenan Allen and Mike Williams to begin with. And the transition into the NFL is hard. And yes, speed makes it easy, but that's where I go back to the Jameson Williams, looking at the Lions and that offense and what translated. And that's, you know, I look at the landscape of so much of it. And it just keeps, the more I look into it, it brings me back to Brock Bowers in terms of how it could go.
Wow.
And, you know, I've got to say, it's like Robert right now is, you know, he doesn't realize it, but he's really happy right now. He's just like, God, I just feel good.
Yeah. Okay. So, I guess just to kind of wrap things up, is Brock Bowers your number one want?
No, in terms of roster construction and in terms of the way that you should construct a team, after quarterback, the number one position that you have to answer is left tackle.
Yeah.
So the pragmatic side of me is like, yes, if you can take Joe Alt at number 7 and he's there and that answers that, that is the most pragmatic thing. It's a little bit of a gambler's roll to pass on Alt, but I have a feeling maybe it's actually shifting back over where we're not even going to have to make that choice.
Yeah, where I was just about to ask.
Gone, and now it's going to be playmakers where you're choosing wide receiver playmakers or Brock Bowers. And in that scenario, I would choose Brock Bowers.
So you would pick Brock Bowers. I know you would definitely pick him over Neighbors. You'd pick him over Odunze.
I think so. I think he would be my top playmaker, especially with a creative offensive staff that is looking. Look at what Evan Engram did with Holtz and the Jaguars. Wasn't Evan Engram basically a 100 catch tight end or something?
That's like, he had a good year. Yeah.
And you know, we like to give Chig a little bit of the side eye, but Chig silently had a decent year for tight ends for the Titans. Yes, he had untimely drops and there were other things, but Chig also, like, as a tight end, if you were to free him up to really be that seam stretching guy, you know, in a two tight end set, you're talking like, sign me up for Chig being our number two, you know, weapon in that scenario.
So, okay. So Brock Bowers, say like Brock Bowers, round one, round two, you would want trade up for a tackle or just tackle, maybe not even trade up.
Well, it just depends how the picks fall. But I think the guys that they really want, or that isn't Joe Alt that they're targeting, aren't going to be there at 38. They're probably going to have to move around to get it.
Gotcha. I think for me, it's Joe Alt. Joe Alt's number one. But the more I keep thinking about it, I mean, have you heard John Harbaugh or Jim Harbaugh talk about how important it is to have a good offensive line? I mean, the dude is fun watch. Look at the LA Chargers Twitter and see the video of him explaining. He's been living in like an RV recently. Jim Harbaugh is one of the funniest, like the funniest people that's not trying to be funny ever. He is just, it's ridiculous. But he talked about the offensive line, just was gushing over how important the offensive line is. So I almost feel like Joe Alt's not going to be there because I feel like the Chargers are going to take him. So, he's still my number one. I think if Alt's gone, I think I want Odunze, actually. He's what I want. But in the perfect scenario, I would say Joe Alt one, and then round two, you get your receiver, whether it's Ricky Pearsall, trade up for, maybe trade up for Xavier Worthy, trade up for another receiver, stay where you are and get Ladd McConkey. I don't know. I just feel like at this point, tackle receiver and I'm good with it. Or tackle, stay where you are and get like I think it's Darius Robinson. He's the Missouri. He's either a Missouri edge or a Missouri linebacker. He's someone that's people were talking about. What was that?
We've met with him.
Yeah. So a guy like that, like maybe it didn't play out the way that all the fans thought. It didn't play out how necessarily we thought, but it's just best players there and you take him at 38. So I think, I don't know. I keep going back to it and Joe Alt's the guy. And I feel like last year when we were in a situation where we didn't know if Skoronski was going to be there or not, because a lot of people talked up Skoronski, thought he was a very highly rated prospect, obviously wasn't as high as others thought because he was more of a guard than a tackle. We ended up with him and we took him and I was down. I loved it. I'm in. That's almost how I feel like this year, where it's like, I want Joe Alt. Don't know if he's going to be there. He ends up being there. We take him. No complaints. Boom. Done. We got Joe Alt. Love it. That's kind of where I am. So,
yeah. Well, that is the keep it simple, stupid. Just draft Joe Alt.
Yeah, Joe Alt. Just go for it. Why not? Yeah. But regardless, it's going to be fun. I think the spot that we're in is a lot of fun, and it's a good spot too because of, one, how deep the tackle position and receiver position are for this draft class, and just like the number where we are, like seven, it's just in that range where it's not obvious what we're going to be able to do, but it's not like too far gone to where we're going to fully miss out on players. I don't know if you agree, but I think it's fun, the spot we're in, and I'm really looking forward to it. I think it's going to be an absolute blast. And Yeah, I don't know. One draft from Rand Carthon, and overall, I thought it was a pretty good draft. So I'm excited for the second one, and I'm excited for Callahan and Carthon to work together, and maybe we just feel like we've got more of synergy from the head coach and the GM.
My closing thoughts are, if we would have done what I wanted last year and just drafted Broderick Jones instead of Peter Skoronski, we wouldn't be having a lot of these conversations. But listener, if you find yourself, if we pick at number seven, and whether it's Joe Alt or whether it's Brock Bowers, whoever it is, and you decide to go upon your night and step away, around pick 26, maybe start paying attention again, because I do feel like these Titans are potentially going to move up from 30 to take advantage of this draft.
Is that your hot take going into the night, that we're going to trade back in and get two first round picks?
I say no trade down. I say trade up. That's my hot take.
Did I just say trade down? I meant to say trade up. I don't know.
No, but you did. I'm just reiterating my hot take.
Okay. Gotcha. So Michael is trade up, not trade down. And I am Joe Alt. But if Brock Bowers, sweet. I would love it. Like 2021, JG would be freaking out if we end up with Brock Bowers. So, hey, maybe that's what's supposed to happen. Maybe it's meant to be, and we'll see. But
you can hold my feet to the fire on Malik Nabers. This will be the test of time, whether or not. Watch him just absolutely rip the league up and it be a thorn in my side for 10 years.
Yeah. Well, if he is, let's hope it's in the NFC with the Giants. And that's why we didn't have to worry about him, as opposed to if he's a thorn in your side because we passed on him and he went to somewhere like Colts would maybe trade up for him potentially. I don't know, but that would not be fun. Anyways, loved chatting Legarius Sneed, the draft with you. This is great. I'm so excited. I actually like the NFL draft round one that Thursday night is actually one of my favorite. It's probably, I don't know if it's top five. It's like maybe top seven sports moment of the year. Top 10?
Biggest tease for no sports.
Yes.
That there is.
Absolutely.
An entire weekend dedicated to sports that doesn't show any sports.
Yeah, I mean, the draft happens and then you're like, wait, can I just see these players right now? Like and then you just go to YouTube and you watch all their highlights from the year. If we take Malik Nabers, you better not watch the highlights and be like, all right, I'm actually in. You got to stick to that. If we take him, and you got to stick to that take that he scares you.
Yeah, the last thing I'll leave you with, I think live action football during a football game, there's actually live action, I think it's just under 15 minutes of actual action in the game that rolls by, of like the ball is hiked and the play is happening. So think about all this whole weekend, free agency, draft, training camp, all this stuff. And when we get down to the games, you get, what is it, 17 of 15 minute clips of live action.
Yeah. Yeah. It's still going to be awesome though. It's the draft. Love it. It's in Detroit. The Lions just got new uniforms. Kind of cool, but in Detroit draft, I'm pumped. Super excited. Titans got it. We talked about it. We got to hit in the draft. We didn't for years, and we've got to turn that around. And that's very important. Thank you all for listening. We'll see who the new Titan is next week. But yeah, we appreciate y'all. I'm JG.
I'm MB.
We thank y'all.
My mama told me, son, always be a good boy. Don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head.